Greet everyone in Jesus' precious name this morning. What a blessing to be here once again, gathered together with fellow believers, worshiping. I enjoy baby dedications. They're special. I think we all have a soft spot in our hearts for babies, for newborns. One-year-olds, two-year-olds, they're fun. They're just great, any age. And I think it's great that we do that. You may be wondering, what kind of a message does a pastor share on a Sunday like this? And I'll tell you, I narrowed the title down to one word, and that is love. I had several variations of that, but this morning before I left for the service, I took my pen and I scribbled out the rest of it, and I just left love there. The Bible is full of it. God is love. It's the core of who God is and what He does is love. I invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We are familiar with this as a love chapter. And I invite you to turn to that. And I'd like to read it in the New King James. Let's stand to read the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. You may be seated. As I thought of a text or a scripture to share, I realize this chapter, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. There are some references made to the issues they had there, but there is so many direct references to love. I had to go there. Steve also used some more of my verses in his baby dedication. I didn't look over the dedication. I didn't know what he was going to use, but I was so blessed by his references to love. We'll get to that later. Today we witnessed a baby dedication. We dedicated our babies to the God who formed them and made each one of them. These children, every one of us, was born to receive and release love. That is one of our sole purposes for life, is to receive God's love and release it to others around us. Does it always happen? No. Is it a natural response? No. Agape love is not a natural response to situations in life. It is just not. Agape love is loving someone that doesn't deserve it, Agape love is doing sometimes the right thing when everything in you does not feel like doing it. It's a service love. Some of these thoughts I'm sharing today comes from material from Grace Haven. I enjoy listening to their conference they posted online several years ago. And also several weeks ago, Garrett was here one night and spoke to us. He made some powerful statements that evening. Truth. Genesis 2, verse 18 says, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet.'" It is not good for us to be alone. We are designed to function with people. We are designed for relationships, meaningful relationships. We are designed to receive love and to share love. Babies that are born in countries that put them in orphanages, institutions where there is little to no love shown, studies show they don't develop. You can feed them. You can keep them warm. You can change them, keep them dry. If you don't love them, there is serious, serious consequences to that. I think we all know that babies thrive on a smile. It doesn't go long at all until they recognize your smile as a parent, and you often get one in return. There's expressions of joy when a parent shows up. Aaron, you mentioned that Braylon is smiling. He did it. You sat down in front of me, I smiled, and boom, smile. He's made for that. He's made to exchange love, smiles, and joy. It's amazing how a child develops before they are born. I'm told a child's native language or native tongue is 75% developed by the time of birth. They hear what's going on. Their brains develop. You take a child that is used to parents that are loving, kind. The emotions in the mother's body are results of love and kindness. These children are much, much more. There's a difference in their development. If a mother is living in the opposite situation where there's abuse, shouting, hurts, anger, and you put drugs and alcohol on top of that yet, it is devastating. It is devastating. These poor children are so wounded before they're ever born. I think Maynard and Ruth could testify to that from their work in Colorado. It is devastating. Why? Why does it work that way, you might ask? It is because God designed us for love. Let's look at some current statistics in our nation as a whole. Some of these are a little sketchy, perhaps, on the actual numbers. In 2020, nearly 19 million children, amounting to 25% of all children in the U.S., were living in single-parent families. That percentage is nearly three times the level in 1960. Almost half of these single parents have never been married. What does that do for a child's development? Depending on the statistic you read, researchers estimate 41% of all first marriages end in divorce. These numbers appear to be dropping, and that could be due, in fact, to the fact that people don't marry as much. They simply don't get married anymore. They're scared of commitment. They don't know how to love. They can't. They can't commit. The average length of these marriages is 8 years. 19% of adult women in the U.S. are divorced or separated today, compared to less than 1% in 1920. Back to the children. Half of all children in the U.S. will witness the ending of a parent's marriage. Of this half, 50% of these will witness the breakup of a parent's second marriage. Why, you might ask? Why all this hurt? Why this brokenness? Why? I don't think that the majority of these parents want these situations for their babies. There's something in a parent's heart that wants the best. But what happens? Why does it happen? Over and over and over and over again. Satan. Satan is out. That's his goal. He has always, from the time he deceived Eve and her husband, Adam, he has always, always offered a counterfeit. He's always offered something cheap. Garrett brought that out that evening he was here. Eve settled for something other than God and God's plan. God ordained marriage, and a godly marriage is one of the most beautiful relationships we can experience here. And guess what? Satan made it his goal to wreck these marriages. And it appears as though he is pretty good at it. Godly marriages are a beautiful picture, or type, if you will, of the church as the bride of Christ. Before I go further, I'd like to point out that successful relationships and love does not depend on marriage. It does not. You can be single and experience the love of God and share it with other people in ways that married people can't. There is no disadvantage to sharing God's love with other people by not being married. A marriage does portray a lot of agape love, if you will. It takes a lot more than romantic love to survive a marriage. There's days when you don't feel like doing what it takes. But remember what God did for us, and we do the right thing. I brought out earlier that God designed us for love. The results of all these destroyed homes that I referenced is people that get wounded to the point they give up on love. The very thing God designed us to thrive on, they give up on. You see the irony? We will all face being wounded to some extent. The key is to realize that we are frail humans and we need God in our lives. In our culture, let's come a bit closer home here. We do, or maybe don't do things because of what people would think. I fear there are more marriages in our churches than we know of that just simply coexist because, well, we don't file for divorce. You're missing so, so much if that happens. So much. Because of what? We are designed for deep, rich relationships. The fact that we can't love ruins it. What is wrong? Forgive me for quoting a secular song, but Johnny Lee wrote, "I was looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, searching their eyes, looking for traces of what I'm dreaming of, hoping to find a friend and a lover. I'll bless the day I discover another heart looking for love." He penned the words, how he felt. Looking for love in people. I don't know if he found it or not. Every person on this earth is born with a desire for love. As a child starts to mature, they start to feel the need for something more. There's an awakening or a desire for something. We can't always put our fingers on it. We start to feel something. As young people and even older sometimes, we may not recognize that it's God's Holy Spirit pursuing a relationship with us, with me. He wants a relationship with me. Can I accept God's love? Man often, many times, takes this desire to woman, thinking, this is what I'm looking for. They are set up for disappointment, for failure. Remember those statistics? This is not the answer to the loneliness we feel. Hence all the brokenness. Satan offers this as an imitation to the relationship we already designed to experience with the Father. He takes something beautiful and says, yeah, this will work. Notice Satan again, convincing us to settle for less than what we are designed for. Actually taking something God designed and distorting it. He doesn't care. He is ruthless. He will get you to believe as many lies as he can. When the lawyer asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Do you remember his response? Matthew 22:36 says, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything revolves around God's love and loving your neighbor. There you have it. That is key. Think about that for a bit. All the law, the Jewish law that we see in the Bible, it all revolved around loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your mind. That includes everything about us, loving God. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Can we grasp it? I think we're safe to define our neighbor as anyone we come in contact with on a daily basis, regular basis. That includes our spouses, our children. It includes our physical neighbors. It includes our church, our communities. Can we love like God commanded us to? Whether we admit it or acknowledge it, we revolve around people. We are created in the image of God. We are designed to imitate God, to remind people of God. We are created to be loved and to love. How can we learn to turn to God with that loneliness, with that desire, with that ache that we all develop over our young lives? My mind went to the verses in Matthew chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Universal invitation to come. I've got good things for you. Come. We can go on and on and drive ourselves crazy trying to figure out relationships and why people react the way they do. Men say they can't understand women. And women can't understand men. We read all kinds of good books on marriages and relationships and child raising, and these books can be solid, on-point helps that are consistent with the Bible. But unless we learn to love, we totally missed it. We've got to have that love, that agape love. We need a correct understanding of who I am and who God is and what God's plan of sending Jesus to die for my sins really means. We need to understand that God put me on this earth in 2022 for a reason. We are here in this time to receive the Heavenly Father's love and share it with people. Take that to the bank. That's why you're here, is to love and be loved. I pray that people, the souls God has placed in my neighborhood, can feel the love of God through my actions. How sad when people, especially our own children, say, I think my parents love me. Really? How tragic when young people make remarks like, my parents don't really have time for me. I feel so, so alone. People that work with these hurting people hear it all the time. Feel so, so alone. It hurts. It hurts. We were never meant to be alone, and we know it. There's another song that goes, I was made to love and be loved by you. Love involves action. Loving others is not something that comes by default. Jesus told his disciples, he left them with some instructions, and I chose to read it from John 13. Little children, Jesus' words, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot go. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you. A nod to Elmer's devotions, a new way, a new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love to one another. Okay, there you have it. If we can't love each other, ye are not my disciples. Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, we were bad men, Christ died for us. He did what was not natural. Why would anyone give up his life for a sinner? I struggle to understand that. That's agape love. That's the example we are given. One more verse. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Can you see where I'm heading with this? God left us his Holy Spirit. Jesus left this earth, and we received the Holy Spirit. He will show you. You ask him, he will show you. He is right with us. Ask him to show you how to love. Ask him to give you a deeper picture of God's love for us. God's love releases the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have this ability to learn to love. The Holy Spirit in our hearts will teach us how to love if we let him. Ask him. Pray. Listen. Listen. Did you hear me? Listen to the Holy Spirit. Be honest. Be authentic. Going back to my statement about we care what people think. How often do we pray? We're looking for answers. And a thought comes to our minds and we say, oh, what would people say if I did that? Is it too high of a price to pay? Or are we willing to let those strongholds go? I don't care. Let it go. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Let Him teach you to love. And then you are ready to love others. Sometimes we hold back because we're scared. Why would you be scared of a loving God and His plan for your life? I'm not old, but I'm old enough to know. You let something go, there's something better. God has good things for you if we're willing to let go and learn to trust and love. Look at these children. At this point, they trust their parents entirely. Can we do that with our Heavenly Father as well? I trust we can. I trust if we can learn to love, these problems will melt away. It may take time. It may be painful. It may require people walking alongside of you and helping you. That's what we're here for. We're here to care, share, and love each other. This morning it was just impressed on my mind another scripture that I hadn't put in my notes. It's found in Matthew chapter 7. I'd like to read it. Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Why are these verses here? I'm convinced they're there because it is a scenario that could well play out. We may do the right things. We may live the right life. We may think we're doing good things. But if we're not following God and we're not doing what He asks us to, folks, we've missed it. Why are we holding back? What have we got to lose? To surrender everything and allow the Spirit to lead us, the Holy Spirit to lead us and teach us to love. Like I said, I'm not sure why that came, but there it is. That is all I have. Why don't we stand for prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for the scripture, your scriptures that show us love. Your love is laced through every book in the Bible. Holy Spirit, show us how to love. Show us the Father's love so that we can share it with other people. We invite you to take us wherever you want to take us, Father. May your Spirit guide us. May your Spirit prompt us to do what it takes to learn to love and love those around us so that we can develop people, raise children that know what it is to love you and to show your love to others. Go with us as we go from here. Keep us, help us to remember your words and to live them out this next week. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.